There's so much to listen to and so little time. Please waste your time with us. Solid State Radio. Let the shenanigans begin. It's the Blarney Hour on Solid State Radio.
Listen here, you bunch of fucking idiots. This is Brendan from the Wagon. You're listening to the Blarney Hour on Solid State Radio. Now buck a drink into you and get her done, boy.
I've been working up a thirst, got work in the morning. Well, I guess could be worse. Get home, get clean, back out,
make hay.
Heading into town, I'm gonna satisfy my taste for beer, so I have a couple on the way. Calling up the boys, no one's answering, sure, that's okay. I know where they are, in a pub by the river, rubbing up the bar.
Oh no, it's happening again. The roof starts flying, and the fish begin to swing. It's the same,
hey,
trying
hey,
to live for a night.
Hey, hey.
Got the evening taken with the boys from Kingston. Oh no, it's happening. The roots start to fly and the fish begin to swing. It's the same,
hey,
try to
hey,
live for a life.
Hey,
another evening drinking with the boys from Kingston.
Well, the boys enforce that knocking back the charge, but somebody always takes it fun a little bit too far. But it always seems, no matter where we go, trouble always seems to know where we are. The Kingston boys are gonna win the day. Wrong anybody getting in the way. When the roots start to fly, you know that's when Kingston boys start swinging out again.
Oh no, it's happening again. The roots start to fly and the fists begin to swing. It's the same,
hey,
try to
hey,
live for a life.
Hey,
got the room to drink with the boys from Kingston. Oh no, it's happening again. The roots start to fly and the fists begin to swing. It's the same,
hey,
try to
hey,
live for a life.
Hey,
got the room to drink with the boys from Kingston.
What's happening again? The boots start to fly and the fists begin to swing. It's the same, shite, a different night. It's another evening drinking with the boys from Kingston.
Oh no, what's happening again? The boots start to fly and the fists begin to swing. It's the same,
hey,
shite,
hey,
a different
hey,
night.
Hey,
another evening drinking with the boys from Kingston. Oh no, what's happening again? The boys from Kingston, will it ever end? It's the same,
hey,
shite,
hey,
a different
hey,
night.
Hey,
another evening drinking with the boys from Kingston.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Those of you tuning in tonight are going to be in for a treat. I have Adam Harahuk here, and I'm Drew Duffney, right here on the Blarney Hour.
And it's a very special Blarney Hour.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. We had the prestigious opportunity to sit down and do an interview with Jerry O'Connor, the fiddle player, I'd like to say from the Irish Rovers, which you can't take that away, but that's only been the last 12 years of his 40-year career.
Right.
He's an educator. He's an entrepreneur. He's accomplished. You just can't take anything away from this man.
No.
His mother played the fiddle. His grandfather played the fiddle. Everyone in his family played the fiddle, but I don't want to take away from the interview. We have so much up and coming. We're going to start out with one of his one of the first songs that he learned, and it's called Blackberry Blossom, right here on the Blarney Hour.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking us on, lads.
Okay, so you're going to Pennsylvania, then you're going to Virginia, but you're going to North Carolina. You're going to spend 2 days in North Carolina. You're going to be there with Kevin McElroy. Yeah. And then you're going to be, well, actually two different dates, the 27th and 28th. Then immediately following the 29th, you're going to South Carolina.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Charleston. Yeah.
You're not even going to be able to get into any of that good barbecue or any of that good food you can get in North Carolina. You gotta breathe a little and take a break.
Oh, we did it the last time. That's why we're getting out of town. It's too good. I put on too much weight the last time I was here.
What, do they charge you extra when you get on the plane to go back home?
Well, they will. My wife will. You don't be bringing all that food home with you, she'd be saying. Yeah.
Do you miss it, though? Questions. You guys have got things that we don't have here. You got black and white pudding.
Oh, yes. Yes, Clonakilty the whole way. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got the tater crisps, the things that you can't get here, the potato chips.
Yeah, and there's northern tato and southern tato, but everybody has their own agreement about which ones they like. yeah. Usual old story, the old political stories, you know. Yeah, let's not go down that route.
Yeah. So, all things aside, you've got this big tour, and here you're over here, and you're sharing your gift with us, which is amazing. I actually had a conversation with Rob Landis, who's a violin player of many years.
Yeah.
And he told him that I was going to be speaking with you. And he just grinned from ear to ear because obviously he's seen your work and aware of you. So 40 years you've been doing this.
I grew up, I'm coming to the States. My first visit to America was in 77. Yeah. I came over here with a cabaret show on the East Coast. We were up in New Canaan. And it was a sort of a miniature river dance-y thing before river dance was ever heard of. And we had musicians, singers and dancers from the area. And we played over here. And my first night, I was brought into a house, and this woman says, I'm going to have to say to my boyfriend, that fridge is full of food and that fridge is full of beer. I want them both emptied by the weekend. There's a swimming pool up there. You can barbecue the food on the edge of it. That was my introduction to America at the age of 17.
You're kidding me. She's like, there's swimming pools everywhere and just have a barbecue.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought everybody has a swimming pool and a fridge full of beer that needs to be emptied and a fridge full of food that has to be emptied by the weekend. I never saw life so good. I was offered jobs the first weekend I was over here, but I was going home to a girlfriend who became my wife eventually. But I had a very good start in America. Everything's been downhill since.
I've heard that before. But
they're just trying to make a good. It was my first visit to America, and I was just blown away. People are so good to me, and I've always found the hospitality here amazing. So we hope we bring something as well, music, you know, traditional music from the home. And my mother played the fiddle, my grandparents played the fiddle, my five aunts played the fiddle. One aunt played the accordion. We never understood that. and my two brothers and sisters played fiddle, and my kids played. Some kids, we're a very boring family when it comes down to it. It's all just fiddle. But that's all there really was just fiddle in the house. We had a cheap guitar one time. I think it was left with the strings hanging off it. It was like a cheese grater. I didn't think they wanted us to become guitarists, so the guitar used to take the fingers off you, so we went back to the fiddle.
Well, now, after all this time and all this experience and all this humor, whether it was in the U.S. or the U.K. or wherever you've been in your travels,
yeah,
what was the most heartfelt, doesn't have to be heartwarming, it could be an anger, but the most heartfelt experience you've ever had in your travels, not necessarily performance. I mean, you could have performed for maybe a hospital at one point, and I'm sure that would move you.
Yeah.
But just in general, in all your travels, what really stuck with you and you thought, man, if I could relive that moment again, or if someone else could see it or share it with me, what was that moment?
Honestly, Adam, there's so many moments where you just play a tune and somebody comes up to you in tears and say, thank you for that. That meant so much. And, you know, you don't think anything really off it at the time because you're just, you know, doing it. It's only maybe a time later somebody would say that meant so much to that family or to that whatever. And I know grieving, I get a bit serious now, but we play not a lot of funerals, but you do feel at a funeral that you do give something to families who are missing so much. And I mean, I don't do many of them every, I do a couple of year, obviously, for friends and that, but that to me, that's always an emotional time when people feel that they, They get an emotion that gives a bit of relief and a bit of comfort, I suppose. And that to me is important, because maybe we're out having good times and having laughs a lot. And but when you see others, I remember we used to play a nursing home way back, or a school for kids back in the Midlands, and we were just young kids, and I think we were deliberately brought there to remind ourselves, you were able to do this. These kids will never have this opportunity. And, you know, it always stuck with me is that you see children there that can't walk, maybe can't sit up. And you say, gosh, you know, we are so lucky. And that's, it always humbles me, things like that, that when I see people in situations that you realize how lucky we are. Because we carry it very lightly. You know, we play and we don't think anything of it. We are healthy. We're able to move. We've got all our faculties and hope, well, like part of it. Maybe a sense of humor, not much of our brain. But we're very lucky that we have this ability to travel and play. And I am blessed. And that's all I can say. Is it's an ongoing, there's so many situations, Adam, that...
I have played the music for many different people. Yeah. And they've all shared the same sentiment. And none of them, Jerry, have called it an ability. They've called it a gift. And
what it is, and they're born with it, and some people get an opportunity to develop it. I mean, I'm talking to people at the moment, who, one woman, for example, and she said, I always wanted to play music, and I was given a viola, because all the fiddles in the orchestra were gone. And she said, I played a viola all my life. Well, and I gave it up after 20 years. I wasn't really enjoying it. And I think that's probably what I'm doing here at the moment. I'll be going into schools now next week here in the Dayton area, and I'll be working with kids who have, these are kids who can play music and all that. But maybe their only opportunity to hear music is in an orchestra as a grown-up, or that's to hear this rock music on radio, which doesn't really relate to them particularly for whatever reason. You know, I just think music has to come off an MTV channel or whatever. So I'll be just showing them an alternative sort of music and a different option to play music. And that's partly all I can do. I mean, I grew up, as my mother played the fiddle. She taught kids coming in the front door for 45 years. And not they all don't all play professionally, but they all got a music experience. And their parents were clever enough and wise enough to give them this cultural opportunity to develop themselves. Like Dundalk would not be, it's not known for its music like the West of Ireland, like places like Doolin and Galway and all that. But there's strong pockets of music everywhere around Ireland. And we were very lucky growing up with this. So, I mean, I was just lucky that the parents and my parents and their friends were just saw the foresight to give us something. I was a dancer as well, an Irish dancer before. I was dancing before I went to school.
River dance? Like, you actually dropped the wood and you tap? You had the tap dance?
Yep. I did the tap dance. I was actually, Mrs. Matthews in Dundalk, she had a reputation for having good male dancers. And Flatley, believe me, he came to Mrs. Matthews in the 70s to improve his dancing, learn his dancing skills. And I spoke to one of the guys, Tony Ruddy, about it recently. Tony's older than me. And I said, does Flatley really come to Dundalk? He says, Flatley keeps in touch with me. He says, he's a good fella. He says, he stayed in my house and he visited Dundalk to go to Mrs. Matthews for dancing lessons. So, I mean, nothing's in isolation. We were just part of a very strong cultural, and we didn't consider it, we weren't beating the cultural drum. We were like a youth club that played music and got away for weekends, right? Riding horses
and now you're swimming. All famous.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody. I mean, I remember one time my mother was 75 and we couldn't call it the party. It's her 75th birthday because her two sisters, maiden sisters, never married, and you couldn't mention the cat's age, never mind her age. So I called it 30 years of teaching, just for the fun. So I wrote to all her students in a wee notebook with their name and address, their date of birth for the competitions. And I wrote to all these people and said, party on for Mrs. O'Connor. There's a phone number if you have any more questions. And I got a phone call from this fellow one day. And I said, he says, I got this letter about Mrs. O'Connor's birthday party. I don't know a Mrs. O'Connor. Who's Mrs. O'Connor? I said, well, you must have gone to Mrs. O'Connor for fiddle lessons at some point. Where is she from? I said, she lived in Patrick Street in Middleton. Oh, he says, I went there once. I hated it. So, I mean, they weren't all geniuses and they weren't all into it. But she took anybody came to the door, she taught them. And you know, a lot of famous fiddle players come out of the area. Seriously, I mean, I can name 6 or 8 fiddle players playing professionally that she taught. Had a big influence in their playing, you know. So she made, my mother made a big contribution to the culture in many ways, and where she, her name's still mentioned, you know. She was 87 when she died, and when she couldn't play the fiddle anymore, she felt that's her, she's done her bit, like, you know. And I was, when my mother passed away after 45 years of teaching, we had a new priest in the area. We weren't really sure how he would take to playing the music in the church, because, you know, a lot of people were abusing the situation. So one of the lads, one of our students, Austin Dom, he'd be my age nearly, and he said, "Oh, lads, come on, we'll all play a few reels." And so we took the fiddles out, we played away, and the priest was looking down. He saw 25 fiddle players playing fiddles in the church. And he took a moment. He says, "Well, you seem to all enjoy that, and I think she must have enjoyed that too, so why not play another one?"
There you go. Yeah.
So, and it was just the respect you could see from the crowd that was there, that the respect that she had amongst the community for, and we, you know, that's what she gave us. She gave us a great life in the music.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Drew Duffney. He's Adam Hairhuck right here on the Blarney Hour. And you're in tune on a very special evening tonight. We have our interview with the one and only Jerry O'Connor. Of JerryO'ConnorMusic.net, and he is touring here in the U.S. And we got an opportunity right in between the few moments in between his tour with the Irish Rovers and beginning his own solo tour. In fact, tomorrow he's going to be at the Next Generation Theater with Kevin McElroy at 39 Center Street Brewer, and that's in Brewer, Maine. And if you get a chance to get out and see him, no doubt about it, you're not going to be disappointed whatsoever. On May 11th, he's going to be in Massachusetts. The 12th, he's going to be in Connecticut. Then he's got a lecture and a fiddle workshop coming up thereafter. He's bouncing all around. He's spending a few days in Connecticut. Looks like he's spending 3 or 4 days in Connecticut. So check it out at JerryO'ConnorMusic.net.
It's JerryO'Connor.net.
JerryO'Connor.net.
Yep.
So that was a wonderful tribute to his mother, and we're going to continue on here, right here on the Blarney Hour.
Yeah, my music, we started at home, and then we grew up playing Ceilidh bands, you know, competitions and all that with the Coltis. We had a very strong branch. We had, back in 71, we had 45 children went to the FLAM in Listowel under the age of 18. And they were all come home with All-Ireland medals because they all won the Ceilidh band competition, or as well as duets and trios and all the rest. So, but then once the kids went to college, sort of coaches then breaks up, you know, then a new generation starts somewhere else. But that's the way it was for us. And then I was playing when I was 12, 13, I was picking onions and picking fruit during the summer. And the following summer, I was in a group playing with John Joe Gardner, who would have been a contemporary of Michael Coleman, the famous Coleman who recorded in the States in the 20s.
Of course.
John Joe would have played with Coleman before he went to America. So Coleman was one of the few of those famous fiddle players who didn't leave Ireland. He moved to Dundalk, and when he retired, we played in this show together, this like a cabaret, and I played with him between the age of 14 and 60. Well, I remember playing four summers with him, not realizing the importance of who I was playing with.
Exactly,
you know, He didn't teach me, but I learned a lot from him playing with him. I got the swing of his music, and he was also a flute player, so he played like with the bounce of the Sligo music, and he was an old man, but still he could play very well. So that's what I came up through, and then I met my wife, Etna, and we started playing the music of the area, because everybody would say, "Oh, that's great music. Do you have any tunes from your own area?" And I wasn't. We were also playing a national repertory and learning strange tunes from every corner of the country. But then I played the bar called Mark's Bar, a very famous bar. The Dubliners used to come into, and the Clancy brothers and Tommy Makin. And it was on the border. Dundalk is on the border where I live, between Northern Ireland and the Republic. It's just 50 miles to Dublin, 50 miles to Belfast. We're in the middle. So all these musicians used to come and meet in Dundalk. And I was very young, but I came in when I heard the music one day, and the famous fiddle player I was supposed to meet had been buried that weekend. I had nothing to do with that, honestly, trust me.
you were just trying to make a name for yourself. We get it.
That was it, yeah. I walked in and they all knew me. Some of them knew me from the area, and I was handed a fiddle, and I became the resident fiddle player then for the next few years. And then I started focusing on the music of the area, and with my late wife Etna, we formed a band called Lalu, and she was writing songs and reimagining some of the songs from the area and singing the traditional songs in the Irish language. And that's what we built our career on. That I was working and she was teaching, and Well, we got signed to Sony Music through having Album of the Year in 1996, an album called Bridget's Kiss, which is appropriate because this is the first year Ireland's had a holiday for St. Bridget, the spiritual goddess, and eventually became the Christian deity. So then that's where my music came from, and growing up in an area on the northeast of Ireland. I worked at the college there with Fintan Valerie, who's been honoured this year in the awards. Fintan, Dr. Fintan, is a great academic, and he brought me into teaching the college. And through him, I did a master's in a collection of dance music at the area that Rose in the Gap. So I've been using that as a sort of a textbook for going around playing tunes and teaching. And here I am in Ohio working with Hillary and Doug, Rick and Hillary Wagner. They have put together a little ebook, and we'll bring this into the colleges next week for some of the high school string players, where they can learn to play traditional music from a good source like myself, and will tunes be written appropriate for the cello, viola, and fiddle, obviously.
And you're no stranger to universities, from what I see. You have done some work with Boston University, and I've looked at a lot of your other work.
Thank you. Yeah.
In your interviews, I mean, however you may see this, this interview isn't just happenstance. We want to help you promote this tour, which is exciting for us, and certainly exciting for you to be able to share your gift and your work and your accomplishments that you've done.
I appreciate it, Adam and Drew. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that being said, I have a couple of questions for you, and I'm actually reversing the order. Because the next question I have for you, I don't want to end the interview with, because it potentially could be a downer, but it also can be humorous. What is the worst experience you've had over the years in your travels? May it be a bad hotel room, maybe it be a venue that you went to play and you didn't get paid, whatever that may be. Just the thing that you thought, why would someone do that, or why would this happen?
A terrible thing happened to me just this year, within the last 3 months. My violin was stolen from a locked room in a theater in Paris. I had that fiddle for 23 years. And now I've left it behind me in pubs, and it's been kicked around, and I'm no saint. I left it on a train platform one day, but to have it stolen from me, and it was targeted because it was the only instrument stolen from the room. And it was a locked room, and there was microphones, there was accordion, there was pipes, there was keyboards, there was a lot of good stuff there, but it was targeted. And I try not to take it personally, because whoever targeted it was a professional thief, I believe. Somebody suggested it could be an inside job. I don't believe it was, but still, it's gone. And that has never happened to me in my life. You know, as I say, I've lost it or left it behind at times, always got it back. But 23 years of one instrument, and a very, very nice bow that was made for me by Noel Burke. That's probably one of the most upsetting things that's happened to me in a long, long time. And I tried not to think about it too much. I went down to a fiddle. I was working in Paris, went down to a friend of mine in a fiddle shop, and he says, "What do you need?" I said, "I need a fiddle, bow and case." And he helped me out, but it was pretty, I wouldn't mind. I was working there for 5 months. I was teaching kids on site. I was playing at the local church and doing things for the embassy, and I was really enjoying Paris. I don't want to be defined that Paris, my experience 5 months working in a show in Paris, don't want to be defined by that experience, but it's probably one of the lowest points now I've had. And only lately I had a bit of good news that I'm going to be sponsored for a new fiddle, but that's the other side of it. I needed something like that, because it was affecting me, wondering why me, why then, why that fiddle, why was it the only instrument target. As I say, if the place was burnt down or was lost in the ship, or you understand, but when it's just one instrument taken, that was quite...
When you ask the question, why me?
Yeah.
Out of all the other instruments and all the other performers?
Yeah.
If and anything, really Jerry, you kind of need to look at that as, that means that you were the top of the pyramid. You were the king of the hill. That means you were more sought after than anyone else.
Well, I think what it was, maybe the fiddle was in a Chinese case, which looked like a very expensive case, a very handmade case, which I've bought once it. But unless somebody just said, well, if he has a good case, he must have a good violin in it. I don't know. But the bow was more important. It was made for me by Noel Burke, Kevin Burke's brother, a handmade bow. And he made it especially for me. He's a very high-end bow maker. And that was more, because to me, the bow was as important as the fiddle. And just the whole thing went, you know. As I say, I think it was targeted, and that was upsetting.
Sure.
But look, I've had a lot of good experiences in life, and it's trying to, and I put that behind. But that would have been one, probably one of them. And it was just, you know, it's only a piece of wood, and you know, it's only a tool, and in many ways. But when you have something 23 years that you play,
well, it becomes, I mean, part of you. That, 23 years, yeah, a third of your life, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and I was bought at the time. What it meant was that because when my late wife Eth and I, we were signed to Sony Music in Paris. She says, you need to get a good fiddle. And we went over to Paris, and we picked that fiddle. And that was because we were, you know, sort of at the top of our game at that point. And so it was a connection with her, I suppose, and her musical connection. And I mean, my life has moved on in many great ways, but it was the last little contact with her and the music that we made together. So it was a lot of, I try not to get too emotional about it, but I did. That was a bit of a kick in there.
Well, you knew coming into this interview, it wasn't going to be all sunshine and daisies, and that's why I asked that in the middle, because I never like to finish an interview on maybe a somber note. By no means.
No. So no, that's okay. I think we'll leave it at that. Is that it? Are you happy? Have you got a wee soundbite there?
I am 100% happy with that. I'm disappointed that it happened so recent, but yeah. On the other side, like I said, if it wasn't valuable, they would have just looked past it. And that just says as much about your character, your experience, and who you are as a musician and a person.
Yeah, I try not to let it dwell too much on it, because on why and me and all that. But, you know, it's just because otherwise it would destroy me. And I went back to the shop the next day to my friend, and he says, what do you need? I says, he says, there's any fiddler you want, take it with you. And I says, I can't walk. And he says, whatever bow you want, just take it. There's a case there, and it says, well, you need a shoulder rest, and you need some rosin. And he knew exactly what I needed. And to me, that made up for it. And I went home, and I went to the credit union, I borrowed the money, and they said to me, don't be coming back for a while. But I went back and paid for it, and I played it. When the day I realized it was stolen, I had a student in to teach, and I used his fiddle that night. It was okay. It was good enough. And then I had a replacement fiddle the next day. So, I mean, I try and put it behind me in a way, as it's just things happen. And if I had been mugged on the way home from a gig, you know, and brutalized, it would be a lot worse. You know, I'd traumatized.
Man, sad, sad stuff there. That's, you know, but that's a question that we ask in these interviews, Adam. You know, you want to know the good and the bad. But it never occurred to me that one would have happened as recently as it did. Those of you just tuning in, we're doing the interview with the one and only Jerry O'Connor, 40-year accomplished fiddle player and musician, instructor, entrepreneur. The man has pretty much done it all as far as music goes. Several albums out there. You can check him out at jerryoconnormusic.net.
jerryoconnor.net.
I don't know why I want to throw the music in,
because
there.
Because I think his Facebook page says music.
Is that what it is? Yep. Yeah, the workshop. And you can even check it out. I mean, the man works on fiddles. He repairs fiddles. He builds them himself. He's just very, very accomplished in his field, in his trade. All of his children are in the music industry. So it's just empire on top of empire as far as accomplishments in his family. So we got the opportunity to do this interview with him. We greatly appreciate it. But we're going to go to a commercial break here, and we'll be back in a minute.
The Sessions Concert Series is getting heavy. Come on out Saturday, May 6th, to Flint Local 432 in downtown Flint for Metal Night. Some metal bands from Michigan that you need in your life. Fate of Misery, Blood Rune Sigil, Never the Crash, and I just might have a surprise up my sleeve. Saturday, May 6th, Flint Local 432. It's a $5 cover and all ages welcome. And get your metal on. It's a Sessions Concert Series.
Swiftlet Technology is a Flint-based engineering services company focused on helping you design a technical solution to your business needs. We offer prototype and proof of concept services to help you evaluate your idea, or workforce augmentation to help you make your idea a reality. Specializing in electronics and software, our team is ready to help you figure out what to build and then help you build it. Find out more at swiftlet.technology.
Yeah. Welcome to Historic Lapeer. Named for the stone that lined the bed of our river, we are a vibrant small town where our residents proudly walk in the footsteps of fur traders and natives. We are born with an independent spirit, and that spirit has lived with us from the early days of dueling courthouses to the east-west rivalries of dueling high schools. We are an unusual oasis, close enough to be truly connected, far enough to be a place apart. We are proud of our past and excited for our future, from our cool new businesses, coffee shops, restaurants, and boutiques, to the huge support for the theater and the arts. We invite you to discover this place we call home, discover why we say Historic Lapeer, remarkably close.
Hey, it's the Goat Boy from Open for Discussion, a show where we give the best and worst unsolicited advice. Every week, we ask our audience questions and scour the internet for funny, relatable, and thought-provoking advice that we break down. Ever wanted to know if you're the a-hole in a situation? We got you covered. Join Gator and I every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. for witty banter, insightful conversation, and a general hodgepodge of a good time. Only on SolidStateRadio.net.
You can now use your Alexa device to listen to Solid State Radio. Find the Solid State Radio skill in the Alexa app, and she will hook you up with your local alternative fix. Hey, Alexa, play Solid State Radio.
Playing Solid State Radio.
This is a game changer. This is going to blow things up.
Self-destruct mode engaged in 5, 4, 3.
No, wait, Alexa, cancel. Just one more way you can enjoy your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Alexa, you crazy.
Around and find out.
Are you tired of your project getting outsourced to contractors and subcontractors? Well, these are the sounds of a job well done, and that's what you can expect from Accurate Exteriors. Tony and his team will work with you one-on-one from the estimate all the way to the finished product. Whether it's roofing, siding, or gutters, still have doubts? Check out their 5-star ratings. Trust me, they can do it. They also have financing available. Give them a call for a free estimate at 810-394-2597.
As I look around the studio and see things hanging on the wall, all the things that we're proud of and that we've done here in the studio and for the community, and I think to myself, how is it Trish does this? Trish over at Hall of Frames does an amazing job. So one day we went over and asked her, Trish, what is it? How do you see these things? She said, it's simple. If you're proud of it, frame it. And that is what she founded her business on. You'll find Hall of Frames at 392 West Nipissing, Suite 3, downtown Lapeer. Telephone number 810-660-7874. That's 810-660-7874.
Stone's Throw Theater, located in downtown Lapeer, is pleased to present The Velocity of Autumn. Find out what happens when your 80-year-old mother barricades herself into an apartment with Molotov cocktails because she just doesn't want to go to a nursing home. This play opens on Friday, April 21st, closes on April 22nd, showtime 7:30. Tickets are available at stonesthrowtheater.org or at 810-660-7805. Stone's Throw Theater, where music, theater, and art are only a stone's throw away.
Hi, I'm Brian Herrick, owner of Happy Days Smoke & More. We're an old-school head shop with a unique atmosphere. We carry local CBD products along with a wide selection of vape and garden supplies, custom blown glass and etching, also tattoo parlor, bulk tobacco, and much, much more. That makes us one of a kind and no one like us. So come on in and let us help you find what you need. Happy Days Smoke & More is located next to Rick & Nick's Party Store south of Bad Axe.
When you want to unwind, Cascaden Lounge in Metamora has everything you need. Hot food, cold drinks, keno, 6 pool tables, pinball, darts, air hockey. For the musicians, every Thursday night is open mic night. Then on the weekends, Cascadens has the best bands around lighting up their stage. Cascaden Lounge is located at 4099 South Lapeer Road in Metamora. Give them a call at 810-678-2116. That's 810-678-2116. You deserve to relax, and now you know the place, Cascaden Lounge.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Barney Hour. I'm Drew Duffney. He's Adam Hairhawk. And we're going to continue right on with our interview with Jerry O'Connor right here on the Barney Hour.
You took on your mother's legacy, and now you're teaching, as she did, and you're sharing your ability and your gift and your just your talent in general. Which one of your children or all of your children, who is going to take in your footsteps and continue to carry on the teaching of the fiddle?
Well, As I mentioned earlier on, my immediate sister and brothers, two brothers play, and in my family, Donald, my eldest son, Donald has a studio, professional studio in Belfast, and he's a professional musician. He's produced album of the year and everything last year. He's a wonderful musician. His kids are all playing music. My daughter has three girls learning music, and she's a lawyer with PricewaterhouseCoopers and runs a hotel hospitality business in Donegal. very, it's just been awarded by the national papers, big awards. She plays the fiddle and her kids play the fiddle. My next son, he plays guitar and sings. He sings in Gaelic, won the Oireachtas, big Gaelic speaking competition a few years ago. And he's singing and playing. And then my youngest son of the first family, Finian, he plays the pipes and sings as well and plays the whistles. And
he's with the Mary Wallopers.
He's with the Mary Wallopers, yeah, just back in the States off the UK tour. So, I mean, they're all playing music. Now, my thing is that I have taught workshops all around Ireland and I've taught schools through the Gaelic language when I was at home. But these last few years, I've been mostly teaching workshops and doing some teaching online. I did a series of 12 concerts. Well, my son wouldn't call them concerts. Were sort of hangouts from my workshop on Facebook during COVID. And it was very interesting. I played tunes from the albums and took requests and spoke to friends ringing in and that. And this woman contacted me from Louisiana and she says, greetings from Louisiana. And I says, I've never been to Louisiana, just like that. And she says, when are you coming out? So I went out to Louisiana, not last year, but COVID, well, the year before, we did a little sort of 20 minutes. I was sort of fed into our students by screen. Online, and we talked and played, and then I did a little concert, did a little bit of teaching. Then she said, Jerry, you'll be out next year. So I went out there last year, and that's the way it's going with me now. I sort of present myself in a short period, and then if everything works for everybody, which seems to be pretty good, I go out and do a teaching strings arrangement. That's how Hillary heard about me here in Dayton. She heard me on an interview. She liked the way I spoke about teaching. I was teaching in Asheville, up in the Swannanoa Gathering. I've been teaching there for the last number of years with Jim McGill and his team. So that's the way. But it's just basically you make contact and the people hear what you're doing, they like what you're doing, maybe, and they book you back. And so that's what I do. So I also talk about a collection of dance music that I published, and I play tunes from it. I give a paper on that. I did Boston College, UCLA, and the PBLN in Dublin. And I don't want to be just defined as a fiddle player, more an educator, I wouldn't call myself an academic because I'm not very academic, but I like reading. And I mean, if I studied music at school, I would have failed it. I'm not that sort of speaker.
Welcome back, everybody. He's Adam Hirhuk. I'm Drew Duffney right here on the Blarney Hour on Solid State Radio, and you're listening into the interview with Jerry O'Connor from jerryoconnor.net. He is a very, very accomplished fiddle player, and he's so modest. I mean, you just heard him say right there that, academically, if he had to study music, he probably wouldn't have done so well. But my gosh, he is amazing, and you're about to hear him because we're going to have him play out. We opened up the show with one of his songs, and we're actually going to close out the show with a song from one of his youth, one of his sons in a band called the Mary Wallopers. So that's coming up, but we're going to get right back to it right here on the Blarney Hour.
A couple of things. We're going to kind of wrap things up here. I don't want to keep you. I know you've got rehearsal and different things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cover your tour dates after we leave, but I'm going to close with what is it you want our listeners to hear? We're going to be playing this interview, and then I'm going to ask you to maybe play something out, maybe your favorite song or however we're going to close. But what is it you want them to know about Jerry O'Connor? What is your legacy going to be? Because we're digital. This is going to be recorded forever.
I suppose I'll be known probably as a good dance musician. To me, playing music should be for dancing. You should be able to get people to their feet with their style of dancing. I suppose one track that a lot of people come back to with me was a tune on the Journeyman album called The Maid Behind the Bar, set of reels.
Uh-huh.
My son played piano on them. And also, there's a local air that I used to play as a kid, and I recorded it on the same album, Urquhart Cain the Conscious, track number 3 on the Journeyman. Other tracks, I suppose, on my solo album recently, Last Night's Joy, was the opening tracks. People seem to identify with that as well. And I mean, I'm going to rehearse now with Jim, with Rick and Hillary now, and they'll be saying to me, "What do you want to play?" And I'll say, "Whatever you like me to play, whatever you like on the albums, anything I've recorded, I like to play. There's nothing on an album, especially my solo albums, that I don't enjoy playing." So that's, I just enjoy playing. That's what I do.
We have both your solo albums here, and we've even had some of our sponsors as we have a lot of our sponsors are local here, and they're like, man, can we use that in our commercials? I'm like, I don't have permission yet. I don't know. We'll see what Jerry has to say.
Let's talk about it. Sure. I mean, I'm a commercial. If it's for commercial, I'm a commercial too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For sure.
We need to, people think, I know I'm not being too hard, but I mean, it costs money to make albums. Every time I go into the studio, we said, there's the phone that they're going to be cut off again because we didn't have any money, you know, and eventually we got the money.
Right.
But every time we recorded an album, we didn't have the money to pay the phone bill. And things aren't just as tight as that at the moment, but people have to bear that in mind, that music, recorded music, is not cheap. I mean, every time we make an album, it costs 10 to 15,000 euros.
Exactly, for sure.
And then people aren't buying so many albums either. So I'm sort of trying to get my stuff up as downloads as well and online. Again, well, that's not my particular skill. I mean, I should have done this years ago, but I'm trying to do it. I have music up on Bandcamp at the moment. I'm trying to increase my profile on that. And with that, and people are still buying CDs on tour, but a lot of people don't have CD players anymore, I find. So we have to adjust, you know. Yeah. I mean, me growing up in the 60s and hearing music from albums and people buying albums, and it's a totally different game at the moment. And we have to move with it, or... We don't exist, you know.
Sure. Well, why don't you go ahead and play your favorite? We'll play us out.
So I'm going to play. I mentioned a few such tunes there. Okay, I'll play these tunes. The first tune is called "The Maid Behind the Bar." Very important person to keep happy. Second tune is a version of Paddy Ryan's Dream, which is played in many different Celtic cultures. It's played in French Canada as well, and in Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. And the third reel is a great reel called Music in the Glen. And I always think of my mother when I play this tune, because she was the one that would have shown me how to play this first. So three reels, starting with Maid Behind the Bar. Thank you.
Wow, that was amazing.
Thank you, man. Yeah. My first tune of today. It's not always the easiest tune, but I didn't make it easy on myself.
that literally was amazing. When you play them all collectively as novice, I mean, we're professionals in our own trade, but not certainly in your trade. But the way you played it, I actually picked him out. I was showing Adam. I'm like, this is number one. And when we got to, I showed him number two, of course. Number one was isolated. And I'm like, well, that's number two. And then you went to the third, and I keyed him number three. And he's like, what? And I'm like, that's number three. You know, and he actually turned my microphone off because I was calling it, because I really was. I was in tune to it. And Jerry, that is amazing. That really was amazing.
Thank you very much. It's great to have the opportunity to do it here. I'd like to thank Rick and Hillary here, Hillary Wagner, who's invited me over for this first week, and then myself and Kevin will do the second week. And I have through a student friend, became a friend up in Maine. I've done the third week of the similar strings teaching program, and then Kevin and I finished the tour, and through, but leave the dates in front of you there. So it's a nice, to me also, it's the variety in the week. I like meeting people in different levels, and I'm just finished a tour with the Irish Rovers there in an amazing band, and we're playing to 1,500 people every night. And, you know, but when I'm doing my own work, it's a lot more intimate. You're playing maybe the 40, 50 people, maybe 60 people some nights. And I like the band.
Did the power go out at any other show or just the one that we went to?
We were actually, Anne, George's wife, said the last show was the best show she'd ever seen. Well, 6 weeks practice helps. I know, seriously, it was just, the energy was there. I mean, they're an unbelievable bunch of musicians, and I'm so proud and so honored to be part of it. It's been 12 great years. Hopefully it'll continue. We don't know. That was supposed to be the last tour, but I heard that when I joined the band 12 years ago. Well, yeah, the last album that the Rovers made is called No End in Sight. So we're all staying mum about it and wait and see what might happen. And there are talk, but, you know, well, everybody's in good health, and I suppose this was a new lineup, three new members, and I think probably George was wondering how things would go. I think he wasn't expecting sold out concerts, to be honest with you.
Right.
And amazing, every concert sold out. We did 29 concerts there in 35 days or so, and it was just, it was intensive, but everybody enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad, there was no bad health for a start. Everybody's in great form. Everybody's so happy to be part of that band. And, you know, they're all professional musicians. They've all come from different disciplines and different groups. But it's a very special lineup. We're very blessed to be part of it.
Well, I'm excited for you. You got your tour coming up. We're going to post this online. After you leave the Carolinas, you're going to be headed up to Massachusetts and Connecticut.
Maine, for a week in Maine as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I like the variety. I don't think I enjoyed at school was geography.
Right.
And I'm lucky that I can do all this. As I say, with the Rovers, there's a great machine running that whole business, and they're very professional. I have nothing to think about, just play the fiddle. This takes a little bit more effort on my part, planning, renting cars, and contacting people. But I love that part of it too, and it's the mix I love. I wouldn't like to be doing the one thing all the time. I had a job once. I was industrial engineering with a mining company, and I stuck that for 5 years. And I love, yeah.
5 years couldn't was wait. Enough.
Five years of a job. I've never worked as hard in my life since.
that's wonderful to hear. All I can ask, Jerry, you know, this interview was more than enough. And you don't even have to honor this one, but I'm still going to ask. All that I ask is that every stop you make, whether it be Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, Massachusetts, Maine, you take a moment to take a deep breath and enjoy what's around you.
I'd certainly do that. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, whatever it is. It doesn't matter, even if it's just maybe someone on the side of the street playing the spoons, or if it's someone helping. There's good in everywhere you go. And, of course, there's good food and good drink everywhere you go. But just take a moment and take a deep breath and enjoy it.
I will do that. I'll certainly do that. And I do, and I know I'm lucky, and I meet good people on the road at every point, I must say. It's been a blessing to be able to share what we all have. If you're working the radio, sharing good news and, you know, good music. I was driving on the road in a rental last night. It was after 15 hours traveling. I switched on the radio and I heard Bluegrass Rambles on the radio last night. And I closed sat-nav and I was a bit lost. And I said, well, there's, you know, somebody else is out there playing good music and I enjoy that. It was NPB, I think, National Public Radio. Yes. But it certainly brought me along the road a few miles, and hopefully all our music will bring people along the road in a good way.
That's it most certainly will. And we appreciate your time today, Jerry. And, you know, we play your music. And in fact, we're going to get Phineas in here.
We're good stuff.
With the Merry Wallopers, right?
Oh, yes. They'll be back again, I'm sure. They had a very good tour of America. They were playing New York and some, I can't remember the venues. I know they played Toronto as well in a hotel venue. But they'll be back. They're doing a full tour of England. They're doing Glastonbury. And yeah, get him in. He's enjoying life. You know, he had a tough start in life. His mother passed away when he was six. And he's a good kid. And he's a very proficient Ilan Piper and a very good guy to hang out with. And a bit nuts like the rest. You know, he has to be in this game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. When he says, you got to be crazy to be doing this.
Not wrong.
Yeah, I'm just a spectator when it comes to this kind of stuff. I mean, I talk to different musicians, and I've been involved with goings-on with bands, but I don't actually play an instrument. But I tell you, the dedication and the know-how that it takes to do this, I don't think a sane organized person could do it. I really don't. That's why musicians have to have managers, and they have to have promotion people and different things like that, because it does take a lot. But you can see just by the accomplishments and just by his skill and optimism, encouragement, that Jerry is one of a kind, and he's passing on his legacy to all of his children and his sisters. So congratulations to him. Make sure you check out his tour and his tour dates. We're going to post them on our website. And we're actually going to close out our show with one of the songs that his son is in a band called the Merry Wallopers. And here is Cod Liver Oil and Orange Juice right here on the Blarney Hour on Solid State Radio. Good night, everybody.
water for the first time. Glory, hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. My mother came out, she was going to the clergy. Oh, 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 I buggered off sharp as you have.